If you have your Bibles with you, please turn me to Isaiah 40, 1 to 5. A call to comfort people. Isaiah 40, 1 to 5. You'll see it on the screen as well. Or you can go on your phones or whatever and follow along there. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. It says, "Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem. Tell her that her sad days are gone and her sins are pardoned. Yes, the Lord has punished her twice over for all her sins. Listen, it's the voice of someone shouting, 'Clear the way through the wilderness for the Lord. Make a straight highway through the wasteland for our God. Fill in the valleys and level the mountains and hills. Straighten the curves and smooth out the rough places. Then the glory of the Lord will be revealed and all people will see it together. The Lord has spoken.'" Father, we bless your word this morning. We thank you for your people that are here today and those that are watching us online. And we just pray that your word will find a resting place in every heart. In Jesus' name, amen. So as I was praying this week, I want to speak on, I heard the Lord rather quickly respond, and I just heard those words, "Speak comfort." And, you know, when you hear those words, you know that, well, that's what we need. We need to hear words of comfort. And as I started looking at all the passages on the Bible that talk about comfort, and there's quite a few in there that talk about it, this passage seemed to be highlighted to me. And so that's a passage decided to preach on and to speak on. The context here is Isaiah the prophet. He's responding to the call of God to speak and to prophesy this message of hope and comfort to the people of Israel. And as you read in the Old Testament, and especially the prophets and the major prophets, you'll find that most times their messages are very much judgment's coming, and sometimes you can kind of get tired reading them because it's just one thing after another, and it's usually not good news. But in this case, Isaiah is hearing from the Lord that he is to speak good news. He was to speak comfort over the people. And that's a good place. When you're hearing the Lord speak to you and you're responding, you're being obedient to God, it's good to know that when the Lord is speaking and he's saying, "I got something good for you to share," when you hear that, you kind of want to share that a whole lot more than when there's not something that's good to share, right? And so far, the messages even that Isaiah was speaking were more along the lines of judgments because of the sin that Israel was continuing in. And it certainly shows us throughout the Bible that God does take our sin seriously. And so Isaiah had already been prophesying about judgments that were coming from God. He was even prophesying of the Babylonian captivity that was going to take place and how that was going to be a lot of destruction and human suffering that would take place because of that. And this was all happening for them because of disobedience and because of their rebellion against God. And something we should realize from the start is that sin always has consequences. But the people, they were becoming very weary of all the gloom and in the despair. And most prophets actually were not really people you wanted to see, because so often they were carrying negative messages and telling people that, you know what, you're at fault here. The reason why things are happening in your world are because of your actions and you need to change. Well, a lot of people didn't like hearing that, just the same as today, and they didn't want to change. And yet God, in his grace and his mercy, warned the people and gave opportunity for change. And that's one of the things you also see throughout Scripture, that God always gives an opportunity for people to change. And so God will always work in ways that sometimes we don't understand, but he'll always work in a way to bring people back to that place of repentance, that place of a right relationship with God. So God will always give those opportunities for people to respond and to turn back to him. And so Isaiah, as he hears this message from God, it was a welcomed message for him to hear. that he was to be available to say, I got some good news for you as a people of Israel. And he declares that you've suffered long enough. The gloom, the despair, the judgment were soon to be over, and mercy and forgiveness was going to be released. And so this was a very good message that Isaiah really wanted to share. It was no problem for him to volunteer and say, Lord, here am I, use me, I will share this message. And so this message of comfort and hope for the people, a message to for them to ready themselves that God was going to intervene and that he was going to help his people to get back to a right relationship with him. And so this was a welcoming message that all the people were wanting to hear. And I believe it's also a message I believe that God wants me to declare over you as well. Because, you know, when we look around us in our world and the happenings around our world, you know, there's a lot of gloom. There's a lot of despair in our world. There's a lot of frustration out there, a lot of anger out there, and some crazy things that are going on, and even things that happened yesterday in the news. And so lots of things are going on in our world, and sometimes makes us wonder, you know, what's going to take place? Is there any hope? Is there going to be any change that would be taking place? And I believe the Lord is saying to us, yes, there's going to be a change. It will not be the world's doing, it will be God's doing. If we're just hoping and leaders of our world that they're going to solve our problems, you're looking in the wrong place. We need to be looking to the Lord. And that was basically a message to Israel as well, saying that you need to be looking to him, looking to the Lord, for your help comes from the Lord. And we need to realize that as well, that as we look at our society, as we look at our world and look at all the troubles that are going on and all the problems that we're facing in our communities, there is an answer, and his name is Jesus. And so God has some good news of comfort that he wants to be spoken over his people and spoken over us as believers, that he has something to say to us that will encourage us and comfort us. And so I just want to use this passage to just take some time to bring some words to you that I trust will comfort you and will encourage you. Well, the first thing we see here in this message or this call to comfort God's people was the words to speak comfort. God was asking Isaiah to start speaking words of comfort, to change what he was saying, where he had been speaking of the judgments that were happening, judgments that were to come, to now speak a word of comfort. And I think for all of us in our society, in our world, in our families, words of comfort are great things. And so Isaiah 41 says, comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Now, most of Isaiah's words and prophecies, as he said, were more along the lines of judgment. And so the people, they knew they were being judged by God. They knew that. They knew that they had rebelled against God. They knew that they were worshiping false gods and that made God even madder. They knew that they had ignored previous warnings. They knew that the Babylonians would soon invade their land. And so they didn't really need to hear another message of judgment because they already knew. They already knew. But rather, they did need some good news that would bring them some kind of hope, some kind of comfort that was going to get them through this time. And God was kind of speaking to Isaiah, there's a different approach that I want you to use right now. And if we would look at it today, you know, there's just bad news like everywhere that people turn. And so we don't need to hear more bad news. We really don't. But we're all looking to hear good news. And I can tell you, our society out there is tired of hearing all the bad news, all the negative information. They're looking to hear something good. And so people are looking to hear something different than what they're hearing now. They want to hear words of hope. They want to hear words of comfort. And we have those words as believers, and now is the time to be speaking those words as there is an openness, because people are so tired of all these negative things. There's an openness that's beginning to happen where people are more sensitive and want to listen to words of comfort. And we have that message, and we need to be encouraged to do that. So God is looking for people who will speak words of comfort. Even for Isaiah, the Lord was telling him, I want you to speak words of comfort. Are you available? Will you speak those words? And I believe that God is also looking to us as believers today and saying to us, will you speak the words of comfort that I have to speak to this world right now? Because our world is looking for words that are going to bring relief from all the distress that is happening around them. And there is a window of opportunity that is rising and is getting bigger that we might reach out and that we might bring comfort to the people around us. Now, the answer for the Israelites was that God's your only hope. You know, sometimes we got to go through some tough times and hardships to realize our hope is in God. It's not in people. It's not in churches. It's not in, you know, who's going to be the next leader. It's about Jesus Christ. And that's where we need to focus upon. And he is the one that is able to change things. He is the hope of the nations. He is the one that brings comfort to our world. And, you know, people are. They are becoming more and more aware there has to be more. There has to be something else that can be done. And just maybe this God really is the answer. Well, a lot of people are coming to that. You know, well, what can we say? Well, there's all kinds of words we can say. We have the Bible, so you have all kinds of words. But one of the words I like to use as I'm out there and sharing with people in the community is from Matthew 11:28, where Jesus says, come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I'll give you rest. And so the Lord is inviting people, say, if you're weary, if you're tired of all this, or if you're tired of all the things that are happening in your world right now, come to me. Come to me, and I will give you rest. I will bring that comfort to you. So if you want rest, if you want comfort, if you want peace, there is a place, there is a person who we can go to for rest, who we can go to for comfort, who we can go to for strength, where we can go to for hope. And the world is starting to pay attention and to look towards God. And so we as believers, we need to be open and willing to speak words of comfort. Not to join into the conversation that everything's so bad and so terrible, and I know that's easy, I can get caught up there sometimes myself. But to be ready to speak words of comfort that come from God to the people around you. God's looking for people like that. We just need to be willing to say, here am I, Lord, use me. And then secondly, in this call to comfort people, we're to speak words of comfort tenderly. So we're to be compassionate, we're to be loving, we're to be caring in our approach. Isaiah 42, speak tenderly to Jerusalem. Now, these Old Testament prophets, they weren't quite used to speaking tenderly. Oftentimes, they're very harsh and also very direct. Man, they just came to you and they would just nail you between the eyes with their message. And so a lot of the people, they didn't really look forward to hearing from the prophets. They actually were afraid of them. And so God was telling Isaiah to change your approach. Speak words of comfort to them tenderly. You know, even today as we think about that, you know, none of us want to be beat over the head or be spoken to in harsh and condemning ways. And sometimes, you know, in our zeal as Christians, sometimes we can come across a little bit more direct than we should. And we certainly all need wisdom here in how to speak into people's lives and how we can speak words of comfort to them. And so Isaiah was to speak tenderly, compassionately, with love, not demanding that people would listen, but speaking with love and tenderness in mind, speaking in a way in which the people would want to respond to that message. And that really goes the same way today. You know, if you come and speak it tenderly, you're going to get a far greater response than if you come in hard and harsh, just kind of natural. People respond to that better approach. And, you know, and a good passage that reminds us of the importance of our approach in speaking to another, you know, comes from the love chapter of the Bible. Kind of warns us and tells us what real love is and also tells us what real love isn't. And 1 Corinthians 13:1, good verse that we can apply here. If I could speak all the languages of earth and of angels, but didn't love others, I would only be a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. You know, even if we have legitimate spiritual gifts, even if we're hearing from the Lord, if we speak in a manner where people find us harsh or we're difficult, then they're not going to receive what we have to share. And so the Bible said, share it in love. Share it tenderly that will minister to them and that it will be more well received. So we don't want people to start considering us as people that, oh man, avoid that person because they're going to blast you. No, we need to be those kinds of people to say, there's a person, you need to talk to somebody, talk to that person, because you know what, that person's really tender and they're compassionate and loving and they will speak to you in words that will truly comfort you and truly help you. They will tell you the truth, but they'll do so in a way that you'll be encouraged and that you'll be strengthened. And so that's something we all need to learn, and that we need to ask the Lord to help us, that we might speak the words of comfort that our world needs today in a manner that they will receive it and accept it. And you know, often that's going to be through speaking it tenderly. And so may we ask God for wisdom and how we speak to others and how we share that truth with others. Speak tenderly is what the Lord is saying. And then thirdly, as we respond to that call to comfort people, we need to speak a new day. The past is done. The past is over, and we're promising a great future. Says Psalm Isaiah 42, speak tenderly to Jerusalem. Tell her that her sad days are gone and her sins are pardoned. Yes, the Lord has punished her twice over for all of her sins. And you know, if you read the history of Israel, you'll realize that Israel has got more than their share of judgment because of their sin. And why was that? Well, it's because they knew better. It's because they still went ahead and they still sinned and did things that God said, do not do. And that is why they received a greater judgment than those who did not know any difference. So they're reeling consequences of their sin. And again, there's always consequences to sin. However, God was announcing to them a new day. A new day. A day where God was extending grace, forgiveness for those sins, and was telling them of their future redemption through the coming of Jesus, the Messiah. This passage of Scripture actually takes us right into the time of Christ and also in the second coming of Christ. So what Isaiah was saying is that this rod of judgment was going to be lifted, and the light of salvation was going to come where a Savior would be born, Jesus, the light and the hope of the world. So Isaiah was giving them some words of hope and comfort that these perilous days that they were experiencing were going to come to an end. And God was working on a better plan of hope and redemption for all of the world. And for us here today, I believe the Lord wants me to say, it's a new day for you. If there have been things that you've been involved in that maybe weren't so good, that as you've repented of those things and you've made that change, it's a new day for you. That past is gone. That past is over. Stop dwelling on it and start moving forward into all that God would have for you. God has good things for you in your future. And as we draw near to the coming of Christ, the return of Christ, things are about to change. And God is kind of giving us telling us beforehand that, look, even though you see all these terrible things that are happening around you, you see gloom and despair, there's something good that is about to happen. There's something that is leading up to that is going to be very good and very wonderful. You know, and as we think of that, and even the second return of Christ, think about what took place before Jesus came. I got thinking about that last night as I was praying, after I kind of looked over my message and I was praying here. And I just kind of had that thought before I went out the door, and I had to turn around and do some rewriting here. But I just had that thought hit me. Well, what were some of the things that were happening before Jesus actually came to the earth, was born? people were starting to repent of their sins. John the Baptist was out giving the message and telling people there's a need for you to repent of your sins. And so we see that before Jesus actually came, people were all of a sudden recognizing that I need to turn to God. I need to repent of my sins and turn to Him. And so we're believing that. Before the second return of Christ, before the Lord returns to the earth, we are believing that the exact same thing is going to start taking place, where people are going to start realizing that the way they've been living their lives has been wrong. And they're going to repent and they're going to start turning towards God. So that kind of happened. We also saw, when you think of that, we see people experiencing God dreams. Look at the dreams that Joseph had. Others that had the dreams and visions that were taking place. We see people have even angelic visitations. So good things happen before the coming of the Lord, and good things are going to happen before the return of the Lord. So expect a new day to arise. And that will start with some voices speaking messages of repentance, messages of encouraging people to turn to God, to have faith in God. And we're going to see people start coming to the Lord in a greater measure, because a new day is being offered. You know, 1 John 1:9 reminds us, if we confess our sins to Him, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all our wickedness. And so when we ask God, please forgive me, He forgives you. It's past, it's gone, it's over. He's forgiven you. And sometimes we kind of beat ourselves over and over again because of some past failure in our lives. And when we repent, God forgives. It's over, it's done. You got a new day that's ahead of you. You got a new day, you got a new future that you should start looking forward to. And so that's a wonderful thing. A new day is dawning. And I really believe we're going to see people responding, turning to faith in God, turning from sin, asking God to forgive them. And we're going to see a harvest. I'm really believing that we will see a harvest of people coming to faith in Christ before we see the Lord return in the heavens. So a new day is dawning. Changes are coming. Not from humanity, but from God. It's going to be God's doing, not man's doing, but God's doing. Things in your life are going to change. Things in the world are going to change. He's about to move in big ways. And, you know, this is being proclaimed even back then, prophesying what the future is going to be. I like Isaiah 43, verse 19. And it says, "For I am about to do something new. See, I've already begun. Do you see it? I will make a pathway through the wilderness. I will create rivers and dry wasteland." And so even though you see all these other things that are happening that maybe would seem impossible in the natural, God's saying, that's not going to stop me. It's not going to stop me. I'm going to make a way through all of that. So God will make a way where there seems to be no way. Things are about to change for the better. And so it's time for us as a people of God to speak a new day for people. A new day that's going to bring them comfort. A new day that's going to bring strength to them. The gloom, the despair that this world has experienced is about to change. Something heavenly is going to take place. So expect a new day. And if for you personally, if you've been going through some tough things in life and have had some major struggles in your life, start to speak a new day over you. Thank you, Lord. Start thanking, Lord. Lord, I thank you that today's a new day. This is a new season for me. My failures, my wrongs, my past, it's now over. It's behind. It's under the blood of Jesus. And I got something special planned for me. Something good is coming for me. So expect a new day. And then fourthly, in this call to comfort God's people, we're reminded to speak of the importance of hearing or listening. Hearing from God, that our ears would be attentive to the voices that God has chosen. You know, there's a lot of voices out there because of technology today, the internet today, lots of voices out there that are speaking, but not all those voices are good. Even though they may claim that they're Christian, you got to be really careful of whose voice you are listening to. And this is kind of a word here that, you know, we need to be listening for the voice that God has ordained, that God has chosen. Isaiah 43 says, listen, it's the voice of someone shouting, clear the way through the wilderness for the Lord, make a straight highway through the wasteland for our God. Now, this is a reference to John the Baptist. You'll see this scripture used again in the book of Matthew and through the other gospel books as well. And John the Baptist was given a message to prepare people for the coming of the Lord. He was to be a voice that the world was to pay attention to. He was a voice that Israel was to pay attention to. And his message still rings out today. It's still the same. Jesus used the exact same message. And as we're listening to what voices should we be listening to in our world today, I think it comes pretty clear. Matthew 3, 2-3. This was the message of John the Baptist. Repent of your sins, turn to God, for the kingdom of heaven is near. And that's what Jesus said as well. And that we're to repent of our sins, turn to God, for the kingdom of heaven is near. So if you're hearing someone that's not going that route, you kind of know that that's not a voice to be listening to, because there's a voice where the Lord is crying out, get ready for my coming. Get ready for my coming. Clear the road. And so that's the voice that we need to be listening to, be sensitive to, that when we hear messages of repentance, that repentance is still important today. I know there's lots of folks out there that are saying that it's not important. Well, then they're not a voice to be listening to. You need to be listening to the voice that God has chosen to speak forth. And of course, that takes wisdom, that takes sensitivity to the Holy Spirit. But those right voices are going to be encouraging you to keep things right with God. You know, and as we look to throughout the Bible and the message of the Bible, even as you come to the end of the Bible, you start reading the book of Revelations, and again, you'll see this message being spoken to the church, not to the world, but be spoken to the church. Revelations 2, verses 5 and 7, it says, look how far you've fallen. Turn back to me. Do the works you did at first, because if you don't repent, I will remove your lampstand from its place among the churches. That's telling us pretty seriously that, you know what, sin is still an issue with God, and God wants us to deal with our sin. And then he closes with this. This is repeated throughout the New Testament, even in the Old Testament as well. Anyone with ears to hear must listen to the Spirit and understand what he's saying to the church. You know, we're in a very important time that we need to be listening to the right voice. Because God is raising up voices. Some of them may be preachers. Some of them may be you that are here in this congregation. People in the pews to the people in the pulpits. God is raising up people to speak truth and that there is forgiveness from our sin. And the Lord is speaking that this should be a message that we should be comforting others with. That as we see people that have been in sin or have been struggling with sin or have still, you know, are fighting the condemnation that the enemy keeps bringing upon them, that we can bring them some good news and say, hey, let me tell you something. We serve a God that forgives us of our sin. We serve a God that's saying, I have a new day for you. I've got a new season for you to bring you into something much better. And so may we learn to listen. May we be sensitive to the Holy Spirit and to his voice. May we be sensitive to the right voices that are out there in our world that are speaking about Christ today, that they are speaking of the true Christ and not a false Christ. So may we be listening. May we have ears to hear. May it be our prayer, God, give me ears to hear. Then number 5 in this call to comfort God's people, we're to speak and share of the pressing preparations for the coming of Christ, because Jesus is going to return again. Isaiah 43 and 4, it says, listen, it's the voice of someone shouting, clear the way through the wilderness for the Lord. Make a straight highway through the wasteland for our God. Fill in the valleys, level the mountains and hills, straighten the curves and smooth out the rough places. Now, again, this is referring to John the Baptist and his message of the coming of the Lord. That's what they're to do. They're to do everything possible to clear out everything out of the way that they might receive the Lord. It's implying that action needs to be taken. So obstacles that are in the way, they need to be removed, need to be cleared out of the way. There should be nothing more important than us to us than being ready to meet our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And that needs to be our message. And it should be bringing comfort to us that let's get ready. The Lord is going to come back. We have this hope. It's been promised through Scripture. And just as he came the first time, he will come the second time. And so keep on that peace. Keep dealing with anything that surfaces that would hinder or distract you from being prepared to meet your God. Because he's coming again. And nothing's going to stop him. No matter what the world does. And it's kind of interesting as you read the Scriptures that the world really thinks that they can stop God. It's amazing how they'll even get an army, the Bible says, to come against them. They're like, how foolish can you be that you think you can stop what God is going to do? Satan is doing that. He's constantly doing it. But they know where they're going to end up. So your hope, your dedication, your service for God is not in vain. Keep serving the Lord because, you know what? He's coming soon for you. Apostle Peter, he spoke of this as well, telling us that, yes, you need to be prepared. 2 Peter 3:14, dear friends, while you're waiting for these things to happen, we know they're coming, make every effort to be found living peaceful lives that are pure and blameless in his sight. You know, there should be a comfort to us. The Lord is coming again. We are drawing very near. We do sense that. We celebrate that. We prepare ourselves. And so the Lord is telling us, you know what? Clear the pathways. Remove the mountains. Anything that may be blocking or hindering you from your relationship with God, it's time to clear the path. Make a straight path for the Lord. And for those that are not ready to meet the Lord, I believe God will be breaking down some strongholds, obstacles, lies that people might see their need of God. He's doing that right now. A lot of people are coming to that place and they're starting to recognize, I need God. I need God. And that's the message he wants us to realize, the whole world. Look to me. You know, when you look at Israel and you read through the major prophets and you see all the judgments that they experienced, but in the midst of all that, the Lord kept saying to me, if you only had turned to me, if you only had listened to me, he kept giving them opportunity to say, we're sorry, God, but they refused to do that. We don't want to be like those people. We want to be a people that respond and prepare ourselves, and we welcome the coming of the Lord. And then lastly, in this call to comfort God's people, we're to speak of the coming glory. Isaiah 45, then the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all people will see it together. The Lord has spoken. In other words, this isn't up for discussion. This is going to take place. This is going to happen. The glory of the Lord is going to be revealed. And of course, this speaks of the coming Messiah for Israel. And it refers to the appearance of Christ coming into our world and dealing with our sin, dying on a cross for us. But it's also talking about the end times when he returns again. As often as you read scriptures that are talking about the coming of the Messiah, sometimes they just throw it all in there together. There's no kind of like a timeline that you can differentiate between, is it here or there? It just kind of gets thrown in there together. But it's talking about when the whole world sees. Well, the whole world didn't see when Jesus came the first time. Most of the known world did, but not all the world. But as he returns a second time, the whole world will see him. So in Isaiah's time for Israel, because of those judgments, they would see their temple that they loved destroyed and the glory would end there. But again, Isaiah was prophesying, but the glory is coming again because the Lord himself shall appear and come. He will be our Emmanuel. He will be the God with us. And then, of course, as he came into this earth, born as a babe in Bethlehem, the glory came. But there's another glory that's going to come when he returns in the clouds for all to see. But until that day comes, we should be expecting the same signs and wonders that when Jesus came. As we see the dreams, the visions, the healings, the miracles, the deliverances, salvations, and more. More is coming as the return of Christ draws near. The glory of the Lord has been revealed through the coming of Jesus, and soon there's going to be the fullness of that glory as the Lord returns himself and sets up his kingdom. And what a day that's going to be when our Jesus we shall see. But the Lord will return in the clouds of the air. Acts 1 verse 7, it says, "Men of Galilee," this is an angelic proclamation, "why are you standing here staring into heaven? Jesus has been taken from you into heaven, but someday he will return from heaven in the same way you saw him go." Then in Revelation chapter 1, 7, it says, "Look, he comes with the clouds of heaven, and everyone will see him, even those who pierced him, and all the nations of the world would mourn for him." Yes, and amen. Jesus is coming again with all of his glory. All the glory of heaven is going to be opened up upon us. And we're going to see that. We're going to experience that. We have a hope that is secure. And God is telling us here in this passage that you can count on that because the Lord himself has spoken it. You know, and already we are seeing some glory being released. But I'm believing it's going to keep increasing right up until Jesus returns. And so this passage is basically telling us to be comforted by the promise that the glory is going to return. And so, you know, it's not always going to be bad, terrible days and terrible things upon this earth. There's a day that's coming where things are changing, and they are changing. More and more people are coming to Christ. You usually don't hear that, but a lot of other places of the world are really experiencing mass revivals, mass baptisms are taking place all over the world. And so the glory is going to get greater. It's going to fall. And it should be a welcome experience for us all to say, "Yes, Lord, that's what we want. We want to see more of your glory, more of your presence, more of the goodness of God, more of the power of God flowing through us." And he's just saying, keep pressing in, keep holding in there. The glory's coming. The glory's coming. The glory's coming. I'm really looking forward to our Moose Lake camp next week. And as some of our speakers come, especially our revivalist, because he's really believing for that as well. I say, yeah, that's the kind of people I want to hang around with. And so, man, I just look forward to that. So this morning, I hope that as you look at this passage, that it brings you some comfort. And you know, as we look at our relationship with Christ, it is worth it. Keep serving him. You have a hope that is secure. There are blessings that are coming. There are blessings that you're receiving right now. For everybody in this room, we've all experienced as believers forgiveness. God hasn't treated us as our sins deserve. He's forgiven us. And I'm so glad that he does. That as I repent of my sins and I ask Jesus to forgive me, he does. He does. That's a wonderful blessing. And he guides me, he leads me, he directs me. He brings healing to people, he saves people, he delivers people. He's still at work. And so we should be looking forward to more, seeing it more. Because I really believe there's an increase that's coming as a new day is coming. There's an increase of all these things. You know, God has a plan for our world. And you know what? Yes, we may go through times where, yeah, it can be difficult. Can cause us to wonder. And we will need words of encouragement, words of comfort, because our world does get alarming at times. But God is saying, I'm looking for people today that's going to start speaking comfort. I'm looking for people that are going to start speaking good news to people. I'm looking for people that are going to go out there in our society and say, you know what, there is hope. There is a person that we can turn to. There is a person of hope that we can look to that can change our world, that can change our communities, can change the circumstances that we're living in. And he can do it rather quickly because he's God. He really can. And so that's a message. He's looking for you and I to be spreading that word of comfort to our world. You know, your faith is in the right place. It really is. But I believe God is also saying today that do you not see it? Do you not see some subtle little changes that are starting to take place? A new day is approaching. A new day is approaching. A new day is dawning where the glory of the Lord is going to start falling, leading up to his return. Soon the Lord will appear. Soon we'll be spending an eternity with him. But Jesus Christ, he is the answer to our world. He's the hope of the nations. And so as we look at all these elections that are happening as well out there, let me tell you, the hope of the nations is not who gets elected. It's who we acknowledge as Lord of all. He is our hope. So let's keep proclaiming that. Let's keep comforting one another. Let's be available and say to God, yes, Lord, I'm available. Use me to bring words of comfort to one another and words of comfort to our world. A new day is dawning. The glory is coming. The glory is starting to fall, and with the culmination when Jesus Christ himself returns. So things are about to change for the better. And I believe, you know, that's what God has wanted me to share with you today. Expect to see a change. A change is starting to happen. And believe that. God has something good. And for you as an individual, God has something good for you. It's a new day. God can do all kinds of things, amazing things. And so wherever you might feel you are, realize that God is saying, I can change it. If you think this is really difficult and hard, I can intervene. I can turn those things around. You're not going to stay this way. I got something better for you. And as we look to him, we will experience the better. We will experience his comfort. We will experience his strength. We will experience his help. Because that's what God wants to do. He wants to comfort us. He wants to help us. He's going to see you through. He's going to take you through. He's going to level out the playing field. Because that's what God does. And so God just wanted me to speak those words of comfort to you. I hope I communicated that clearly to you. And may you be blessed. Amen. Amen. Amen.